Hello, I'm Michaela, and welcome back to Lactation Station. You know, I've noticed lately that there are quite a few women struggling with some type of disease that may be inhibiting them from inducing. So today I want to talk about a few of them, the ones that I think are the most dominant. The first one up is diabetes, and there I don't have them in any special order. They're just in the order that I happen to think about them. So first up is diabetes, and women with diabetes can usually lactate, but you're going to need to follow a special diet. And you may even be able to lower your insulin dose while you're lactating because your blood sugar is being used for milk production. And lactation has a positive effect on women's insulin response. With type 1, you may find that your hormonal changes during lactation change the amount of insulin you need and throw your general testing and treatment routine out of whack. So you may have to make adjustments to how much insulin you're taking or when you're doing your testing. For type 1 diabetic women, it, like I already said, it may decrease your need for insulin or lower, you know, how much insulin that you're using during your lactation period. And don't ever worry about insulin passing into your milk because the insulin molecule is too large to pass through the breast milk. Making milk takes a lot of sugar, and breast milk is loaded with lactose, which is a type of sugar. When you suckle a partner or pump, and that sugar leaves your body, your blood sugar levels may dip up to 25%, and your blood sugar could drop, then you're stuck with hypoglycemia. You need to check your blood sugar more often, and planning ahead can help. It's usually a good idea to have a snack before a suckling or pumping session, and keep something like a fruit juice nearby in case you start to feel like you're getting hypoglycemic. Also, you know, you want to sip a lot of water so that you stay hydrated. If you're pumping or suckling a partner at night, I would encourage you to check your glucose level and you may need an extra snack. So that's just something to keep an eye on. With type 1, you can have a delay in milk coming in, but once lactation is established, your experience should be no different than anyone else's. And I just want to make a note here that, like I said earlier, you will need more calories than most women. Diabetic women should always eat something that contains a protein and a carb before suckling or pumping. Also, women who are diabetic are more susceptible to mastitis. Any infection will raise levels of blood glucose, so it's important to learn early symptoms of mastitis and then you can act accordingly. If you decide to take fenugreek, be careful and monitor your glucose levels when using it because it can alter your blood sugar. So those are just a couple of things to keep an eye out for. I know it's tough. You can still attain lactation. And like I said, once you establish your supply, you know, it should be smooth sailing from there. It just may be a little difficult initially getting your milk to come in. Okay. So let's move on to PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome. PCOS is a wide-ranging and mysterious medical condition. Although PCOS is the most common endocrine condition afflicting women, the exact cause of it is still unknown. And because of the complexity of the symptoms, it's difficult for scientists to determine whether something is a sign of PCOS or a casual factor. Causal factor is what I meant. One example is women with PCOS can be overweight, but it's unknown whether being overweight causes PCOS or it's the other way around with PCOS causing women to be overweight. Now, what exactly is the connection between PCOS and lactation problems? You know, that's a question that a lot of people ask. Can you hope for a normal lactation experience? Are lactation problems inevitable with PCOS? And what are the chances that lactation problems will impact you? The short answer to those questions is that lactation involves many different hormones. An imbalance among these hormones can cause lactation problems, such as low milk supply, which is a complaint I've heard quite often from women that have this disease. Since women with PCOS often suffer from high levels of male sex hormones, they might be more prone to such problems. What sets off this hormonal imbalance in the first place? There's a lot of science around the answer of insulin resistance. And insulin resistance, they believe, is the root of many of PCOS symptoms and possibly including lactation problems. In a separate study conducted by lactation consultants in the United States, researchers reviewed specific cases of women with PCOS and breastfeeding difficulties. They noted an apparent connection between PCOS and low breast milk. The possible explanations are that PCOS interferes with proper development of the breast ducts, which is mammogenesis, or the initiation of lactation in the alveoli, which is lactogenesis. And PCOS can interfere with both of those contributors to lactation and nursing. The likely culprit in all cases that is PCOS related is, in fact, hormonal imbalance. Now, little research has been done on PCOS in relation to nursing. A possible connection between PCOS and low milk supply was initially presented in a case study in 2000 of three mothers with PCOS who also had low milk supply. It is thought that PCOS may possibly interfere with the hormones required for the breast to develop milk-producing tissue. In 2008, a study of 36 mothers with PCOS and 99 mothers without concluded that mothers with PCOS appeared to have reduced breastfeeding rates in the early postnatal period as compared to mothers without PCOS. But by around 3 months, breastfeeding rates were equal between mothers with and without. So, you know, it makes it a little harder. There are supplements that I usually suggest to people, like goat's rue because it helps build breast tissue, and shatavari for the very same reason. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say that it will work for you. But, you know, it is, if it's something that you're struggling with, that's something that you can try. It is important to know that many women with PCOS have no problem with milk supply and lactating successfully. You know, it's just getting over that initial hump, just like with diabetes. There definitely more studies are needed before any connection between PCOS and lactation can be confidently stated. You know, a lot of it is still just speculation with the insulin resistance and the imbalance with the male hormones. A lot of it, you know, it still just is needs to be researched more. But my recommendation usually, if somebody has PCOS, is to try goat's rue, moringa, and shatavari. Shatavari and moringa are really good for women's health in general. And then shatavari and goat's rue helps build breast tissue. So those are two things that can, you know, can help build up that tissue possibly. And if it is a hormonal imbalance, then, you know, some testing with your doctor and getting your hormones straight could go a long way to helping you with that. All right. So the next one I want to talk about is thyroid disease. And thyroid disease includes hypothyroidism, which is an underactive thyroid, hyperthyroidism, which is an overactive thyroid, and thyroid cancer. And the thyroid is a gland found in the front of your neck. It secretes hormones that play an important part in lactation by regulating the prolactin and oxytocin. Thyroid disorders impact a woman's health in a variety of ways. When the thyroid is not functioning correctly, it can definitely impact your milk production. So hypothyroidism, which is underactive thyroid, and some lactating women with hyperthyroidism struggle to make a full milk supply. Thyroid hormones play a role in normal breast development and helping breasts to make milk. When not enough of the thyroid hormones are made, a woman's milk supply may be affected. Women with a hyperthyroidism are at risk for delayed or insufficient milk production. And studies also have indicated that there can be a negative effect on oxytocin. Now, some women have reported that their milk supply is sensitive to the level of thyroid hormone in their bloodstream. And that is, some women report that having their thyroid hormone levels within normal range was not enough to support full milk production. But they have a full milk supply when their thyroid hormones are level. When their thyroid hormone level is within the upper part of the normal range. So then there's hyperthyroidism, which is the overactive thyroid. And some women with hyperthyroidism report actually a large milk supply. And then there's some that seem to have difficulty with letdown reflex. And, you know, it becomes an issue even if you're producing well. If you're not having letdown, you can't empty your breasts. And if you can't empty your breasts, your body won't make more milk. So that becomes a big issue. It can have an impact on how much milk you produce. Studies also indicate that there may be a negative impact on prolactin and oxytocin concentrations. What are some of the impacts on lactation from issues with your thyroid? Well, the thyroid issues often cause difficulty with milk supply and milk removal, like I said, because sometimes there's an issue or difficulty with letdown. It's important to work on removing milk or improving your milk removal. You can try an oxytocin, pitocin nasal spray. I have one that I used to get on Amazon called OxyLove. I checked the other day and I couldn't find it on there, but I think one of the girls in my kit group said that they had it on eBay. I have two bottles of that in my refrigerator, and I use that when I have to pump because it really helps with letdown. At least it works for me. Massaging the breast, that really helps massage from the outer reaches of the breast towards the nipple, and that helps make more milk available. Breast compressions during suckling or pumping, if you can, you know, increase internal pressures, it helps propel milk forward to the front of the breast. Galactagogues, you know, they're effective, but only if milk can be removed. If your thyroid levels are out of balance, and you're not getting a good letdown, you know, galactagogues, they can be useful as a supportive treatment, but, you know, ultimately you have to get the milk out. There are a few medications that are contraindicated when you're lactating. So many lactating women with thyroid disease take medications to treat it, and then you can safely continue to lactate. So the last one I want to talk about is one I actually think is pretty common that I don't think enough people know anything about. And it's called Raynaud's phenomenon. And today I'm going to talk about Raynaud's phenomenon of the nipple. And Maurice Raynaud first described the vasospasm in 1862. Raynaud's phenomenon is now felt to be common, affecting up to 20% of women. Raynaud's phenomenon is also known as blanching of the nipple. And if you've ever used a flange that was too tight, and when you took it off, you know, maybe your nipple was like a really bright purple, but the very tip of the nipple was white, that's nipple blanching. And that's not Raynaud's, that's just nipple blanching because your flange was too tight. But Raynaud's is actually a disease that causes a lot of that same stuff to happen. It's not caused by breastfeeding or nursing, but it's due to abnormal spasms of the arteries that supply blood to your nipples. And this causes the restriction of blood flow and then therefore numbness, maybe a little bit of burning, and some pain. The skin of the area usually turns blue. And then when the blood starts flowing back to the skin, I cannot talk today. When the blood starts flushing back, the skin becomes like a reddish color. And I don't know, you know, to me it's more of a purple color from the loss of circulation, but I guess it could be a blue too. It always seems like a purple to me. Not all women who have nipple or breast pain or even nipple blanching have Raynaud's disease. Most times, women who nurse with Raynaud's say that the pain occurs right after their baby has stopped breastfeeding. They say that their nipples turn white and feel as though they are being clamped down by a vice grip. After a while, the blood starts to return to the area, resulting in red nipples. So if you've ever suckled a partner and you felt that, then, you know, you might want to discuss it with your doctor. There's a lot of pain associated with Raynaud's phenomenon, and it's extremely severe and throbbing. And it's often mistaken for candida or, you know, a yeast infection. So it's not unusual if you go to your doctor to have the Raynaud's phenomenon of the nipple to be treated inappropriately and often repeatedly for candida instead of what it actually is, you know, and then you just get a topical cream or a systemic antifungal agent and the actual cause of the problem is not being treated. So, you know, if this is what you think you have, some signs that you may be accurate, you know, that you can discuss with your doctor are additional symptoms. In addition to what I've already said is precipitation by cold stimulus. You know, if your nipples get not freezing cold, but, you know, exposed to the air and they're painful and they start to ache. When you're not nursing, when it's just like if you're changing shirts or whatever and you take off your bra and exposing your chest makes your nipples painful, that's a sign. Also, biphasic or triphasic color changes, that, you know, that's definitely a sign of it. Excruciating nipple and breast pain during nursing, pumping, or at other times when your nipples are cold or wet. Triphasic or biphasic color changes in the breast or nipple area, which just means like the nipple would be blue, but the tip of the nipple would be white. Sometimes the areola changes shape, and all the time there's intense throbbing in the breast or in the nipple. Make sure that your partner is latching on correctly, and you can also lessen the pain and eliminate any other sources of nipple pain associated with lactation. Try to stay calm and in a stress-free environment. Stay away from coffee or any other caffeinated drinks, as these will worsen the symptoms of Raynaud's syndrome. Eliminate alcohol from your diet. Alcohol has a worsening effect on Raynaud's. Avoid quick temperature changes to your nipples. Keep a warm cloth handy for after suckling. This keeps your nipples warm after your partner stops nursing. Women with Raynaud's of the nipple should never let their nipples air dry. And I've said before, if you, you know, if you think that you have an infection or, you know, you got something going on, rubbing a little milk on your nipples and then letting them dry is really helpful. Not in this case, because that for lactating women, as soon as you're done at the breast, whatever you're doing, pumping or suckling, if you think you have Raynaud's or if you do have it, then you should immediately cover up. A lanolin barrier cream or olive oil can help stop the nipple from air drying. And you just take a little bit of the oil or the cream in your hand, warm it up, and then rub it on your breast. Using breast warmers or heating systems can increase milk supply, but this may lead to engorgement and over milk supply. So you have to be careful with that. Now, these issues can be managed by using methods such as one-sided feeding for over milk supply. You know, just have Express on one side and have your partner on the other side. You may be able to manage your symptoms at home. And here's a couple of things that you can do. Apply warmth to the nipple directly after each session. A warm compress or breast warmer can be used to gently supply warmth to that area. Avoid exposing your nipple to the cold. Avoid sudden temperature changes. Avoid airing your nipples. Warm the room before undressing. Avoid caffeine, avoid nicotine. If it's cool enough, wear an extra layer of clothing. Massage the nipple. If you have a vasospasm occurring, try to massage the area. And exercise will help improve circulation and may reduce the severity or the number of episodes. A few supplements that may help is magnesium, because it helps relax the muscles and blood vessels. A magnesium supplement can be especially helpful if there is vasospasm pain in the breast. I suggest you take 250 to 300 milligrams of magnesium twice a day. And, you know, I'm going to put my disclaimer in here again. I'm not a doctor, and these are just suggestions. If you feel like you have an issue or you need to talk to your doctor, then by all means, you should do that. Fish oil or evening primrose oil helps improve blood vessel relaxation. And then vitamin B6. And you can get vitamin B6 in a B vitamin complex. Vitamin B6 seems to work best for vasospasms when it's actually taken as part of a B complex of vitamins that includes niacin. You want to take 100 milligrams of B6 in the complex twice a day. What you have to do, though, is you have to look, because the amount of B6 in each capsule should be listed on the bottle's label. Here's an example. If the overall capsule is 125 milligrams of B complex and there's only 50 milligrams of B6 in that capsule, then you need to take two capsules twice a day. Pretty simple to figure out. If there's no significant improvement, you know, if you just are having the vasospasms and you can't seem to get any relief, then stop the B complex and, you know, go see your doctor. If the B complex decreases the pain, you can continue taking it until your pain is stable, you know, like however long you need to, because it's a B complex and it's not really going to hurt you. You know, if it's not doing you any good and you don't want to take it anymore, then don't take it. So there you have it, ladies, some of the most common diseases that affect lactation. If you have any of these, then please know that although lactation may be difficult, it isn't impossible. Women since the dawn of time have been lactating and overcoming all kinds of stuff. So it gets frustrating when you have these diseases that seem to impede your forward progress. But if you can just, you know, push past the frustration, I promise you, you'll get to where you want to be. All right. So it's Labor Day weekend. I hope you guys have a great weekend planned. If you have friends that, you know, are thinking about inducing or are curious about it or just would like more information, have them come over and listen to the podcast. Don't forget to go by the website and register for the email. And I think that's it. So you guys have a great weekend, and I will talk to you next week. This is Michaela at Lactation Station.